KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. It's 5 degrees above zero, the wind chill around 13 degrees below zero. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Winter weather advisory is currently in effect for Cass and area counties until 6 p.m. this evening. For the far west and southwest counties, that winter weather advisory remains in effect until noon, and then there'll be a wind chill advisory kicking in for some area counties. And our weather forecast for today is calling for to be cloudy and windy with intermittent snow showers today and a high around 10 degrees with winds northwest at 20 to 40 miles per hour, giving us a wind chill around 15 degrees below zero. We've been telling you all morning about the schools that have delayed start for today. Road conditions in the listing area vary from completely covered with ice, snow, and slush to partially covered. And bridges, of course, are slippery, so slow down out there. Give yourself plenty of extra braking distance and travel time to get to your destination. An Atlantic woman has won a prestigious award from the Professional Photographers of Iowa in their annual Winter Print Competition. That event was held February 1st and 2nd in Cedar Rapids. Kathy Summers' case score, which is the total score of up to four entries she submitted, placed her in the top 10 non-master class. Two of her entries were awarded a merit, and that is a score of 80 out of 100. Summers said last night that one of her entries was an album of the Atlantic sesquicentennial year.
And I covered all types of things from the events that took place to the schools and the public buildings and the parks and some aerial photography that Mark Smith took me up in the airplane to get. And the album won first place in the non-masters, non-event category with a score of 89.
Summer said winning the award in a competition of this caliber has been a lifelong dream of hers.
And to receive even a small award and to get first place is a huge honor.
She said that the judges at first weren't sure what to think of her album because they'd never judged anything like it.
At first, they weren't sure what to think of it because they've never judged an album like this before. They're used to seeing weddings and senior, high school senior albums. So the first time it came up, they said, I'm out of my element, I don't know what to think. But they gave it a nice score, and then they brought it back to rescore it because they realized they had underscored it and they increased the score.
For Summers, the album was a year-long project because, of course, the sesquicentennial went all year long. She says it was a time-consuming project, but worthwhile because...
Obviously, I care about Atlantic, and I think our town is a great place to be, and I'd love to document that and share it with everyone who will look at the pictures.
Kathy Summers began her professional photography career in 2016. Her most recent competition was her fourth to date. Well, the Walnut City Council will hold their regularly scheduled meeting this evening at 5 o'clock at City Hall in Walnut. And during their session, the council will hold discussion with regard to the community center. The council will hear in particular from Jim Thompson with Iowa Economic Development and discuss with regard to the community center, a part-time custodian, snow removal, and Family Incorporated. A committee has determined their initial plans for transforming the former Walnut School building includes turning the music and band rooms into a fitness center with exercise machines, weights, and other fitness items, using the gyms for walking and jogging, along with exercise classes. The gyms could also be used to start a town volleyball and basketball league, and it's hoped a room in the school building could be used as a youth area with kid-friendly games such as ping pong, foosball, and so on available to students before and after the buses pick them up and drop them off. The room will be monitored by adult volunteers. They also hope to use some of the classrooms to host classes they would like to bring to people to offer a wide variety, including art, floral, craft, cooking, and baking. Other business during this evening's Walnut City Council meeting includes discussion with regard to the operation of the Walnut Welcome Center, a request and possible action on tourism support from the city, and a recommendation for Economic Development Committee and Council consideration of two applications for the Small Business Startup Grant Program, those being from Banana Split and the Walnut Market Village LLC, along with discussion about the property maintenance ordinance and a housing rehab grant. The council there will also review the preliminary budget and consider the adoption of a resolution scheduling the time and place for a public hearing on the City of Walnut's proposed fiscal year 2019-2020 budget. Well, the Cass County Sheriff's Office reports three arrests took place from January 31st to February 4th. On the 4th, 28-year-old Justin Dale Hardesty of Cumberland was arrested on a felony warrant, or felony charge, that is, of OWI third and subsequent offense, and an aggravated misdemeanor charge of driving while barred. Hardesty was taken to the Cass County Jail and released later that day on his own recognizance. On February 2nd, 46-year-old Scott William McAvey of Adair was arrested for OWI first offense. McAvey was taken to the Cass County Jail and released later that day on his own recognizance. On January 31st, 40-year-old Travis Lee Demme of Carroll was arrested by Cass County deputies on a district court warrant for a probation violation. Demme was brought to the Cass County Jail and remained held there, as of last report, on a $25,000 bond. Three area fire departments were called to a structure fire Tuesday night at around 6:30 p.m. The Irwin Fire and Rescue Department, Defiance Fire and Rescue, and Manila Fire and Rescue all responded to the house fire at 2213 Umbrella Road north of Irwin. Firefighters fought for over 5 hours to put the blaze out. No one lived in the residence, and it was reported that no utilities were allowed or were running to the house. One firefighter from Irwin reportedly fell from a ladder and was taken to Murtu Medical Center for x-rays and observation. The firefighter was treated and allowed to go home on Tuesday night. No other injuries were reported. The house is considered a total loss, and the fire was under investigation. Elsewhere in state news, a Fort Dodge man has been accused of scheming to defraud the Iowa lottery. Webster County court records say 39-year-old Nicholas Hansen is charged with money laundering, conspiracy to commit lottery fraud, extortion, and marijuana possession. Authorities say Hansen wanted to redeem a winning lottery ticket, but didn't want his winnings taken by various creditors, including the state of Iowa. The court records say he enlisted the aid of another person who went with him to claim the lottery winnings. The criminal complaints don't say exactly how much money Hansen and the other person picked up at the Iowa lottery headquarters, describing it only as a substantial amount of U.S. currency. An Iowa regulatory board won't let Alliant Energy charge customers who decline to have smart meters used to track how much electricity they use. The Iowa Utility Board voted Wednesday to reject Alliant's request to charge $15 a month to customers who opt out of the smart meter program. The board told Alliant to file a revised rate request that allows customers to opt out without facing a fee. The board says Alliant already charges customers for meter reading in its current rates. The board didn't bar Alliant, though, from seeking a future charge in a broader rate case. Alliant says its smart meter system uses two-way wireless communication to retrieve meter data and funnel it through a secure and proprietary network. The agency that runs Iowa's affordable housing programs will reimburse the state $4.15 million for payouts to victims of sexual assault by its former director. The Iowa Finance Authority Board, or IFA, voted Wednesday to grant Governor Kim Reynolds' request to reimburse the general fund for the cost of the settlements. The state on Monday agreed to pay $2.35 million to one former employee and $1.8 million to a current employee to settle claims stemming from their harassment by former IFA Director David Jamison. Reynolds said the state is considering whether to seek restitution from Jamison, a former ally, whom she fired last year. The authority board have voted to amend its $54.6 million budget for the year that ends June 30th to cover the $4.15 million cost. Most of the budget comes from non-state funding, such as revenue from bonds and loans. Agency Director Debbie Durham says the payment will come out of a reserve fund that contains interest on investments, and the diversion will not affect its programs or services. Governor Kim Reynolds is asking Iowa's Attorney General about the state's options now that the two women who accused a state agency director of sexual harassment are being awarded settlements worth more than $4 million.
We heard from one of the victims that said, "I'm ready to move on with my life and to put this in the past," and that's what this has done.
One of the women was issued a written statement Monday calling former IFA Director Dave Jamison's conduct horrific and appalling. An investigation found one former and one current IFA employee had been subjected to verbal and physical harassment. Reynolds isn't ruling out the idea the state may take some sort of legal action against Jamison to try and offset the $4 million that taxpayers are paying.
We're consulting with the AG's office to consider what our state's options are once the settlements are finalized.
And Reynolds has repeatedly said that she has zero tolerance for sexual harassment in state government.
We're never going to stop doing everything that we can to change the culture and really raise what, you know, the expectations are of not only administrators but employees that come to work here every single day.
The state solicitor general says awarding cash settlements to the two women avoids what could be more costly legal action against the state. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.